Good morning. Good to be with you guys, and welcome to the South Side. Fun to be two sides of the street, one church. Thankful to be with you this morning. My name is Cheryl. I'm one of the pastors here at Christian Assembly, and I am excited to dive into the book of James. If you have your bulletin, might as well get to that now, because we got a lot of scripture that we're going to be looking at. So go ahead and open that up, and let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for your presence with us this morning. God, I pray that your holy scripture would be over us, would be our guide, would be life to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher this morning, God. I pray that your glory would be our greatest concern. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the great gifts, and Tommy even kind of mentioned this, but one of the great gifts of gathering together this morning is that we need each other, right? That there's something about the local church, and Christian Assembly is one of those local churches, that gives us the opportunity on a weekly basis to just pause, to kind of lift our head up from spending the week looking inward, if you're like me, to looking upward. And I know so many of you that that's why you come. That's why you're here. You know that you need a space to look up to God, to worship. But it's been interesting for me over the past 2 or 3 months, I've been having these conversations with people after the services. And there's another reason that many of us come. Many of us come because we want an assurance. For some, it's kind of a superstitious assurance. We want to know that if I show up at church, then maybe God would keep bad things from happening to me, right? Or a good thing that I want to happen will happen. And we obviously can't guarantee that. But for many, and I had this conversation just recently after one of the services, it's the desire for an assurance that we're right with God. This person that I was talking to, and I've had a number of these conversations, and everyone says it a little different, but basically they say this: I want to know that I'm right with God and God's right with me, right? I want to know that, and this person said this to me recently, if there's a heaven, can I know I'm getting in there? And sometimes some people in the church go, oh, the church puts too much emphasis on heaven. We need to talk about the here and now. But this person's desire, it was so sincere because it does matter, right? Because I think for her, she was saying to me, if this is it, I need to know that there's this greater hope. And I need to know that I'm going to be a part of that greater hope. I need to know that God sees me and I'm right with him. And so then I get to have the privilege to share what we so profoundly believe here, right? At Christian Assembly, we stand on the belief that of Jesus. We stand on Jesus, that we believe in him, right? And we believe that it's not something that you have done to make yourself right with God, but it's something that has been done for you. Bill Hybels, a pastor up in Chicago, says it this way, and I think he says it so clearly. He says, Jesus lived the perfect life we could never live and died on the cross to pay for all the wrongs we have or will commit. And in doing this, Jesus makes it possible for us to be right with God and live with him now and for all eternity. We believe, we are convinced of what the scripture says. Some of those verses are here for you. Romans chapter 3 says it this way: so we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. That our rightness with God is by faith. It's a decision that we make to receive the grace that he has given us in Christ. Romans, Paul again, says this: when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted righteous, and that language there is people are counted or made right with God, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. That's good news, right? That is great news, that we're counted right with God, not because of something that we've done and earned, something we've strived for, but something he has done for us. Paul again says this in the book of Ephesians. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We believe, we are committed to a gospel that says that we are saved, that our salvation is by grace through faith, right? And we hold to that. But then we come to the book of James, and we have a problem. We bump up against some scripture that seems to contradict this that we believe and hold to so fastly. Look at James in your bulletin. You can drop over to verse 24. James says this, "So you see, we are shown to be right with God." We're shown to be righteous. We're shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. That's a conundrum. That's a problem. And I wish I had time to unpack all the language and contextual stuff here, but I just want to say this, because what I really want to do is I want to get to what I think James wants us to hear in this passage. But I couldn't just ignore this. I couldn't just skip over it, because you would all be sitting there going, "Well, what's the deal?" Because we're a church that believes in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us in his life, his death, and his resurrection, right? And we believe, like I said, this gospel, this good news, this great news, that it's not what we have done, but it's what's been done for us. But James seems to be saying exactly the opposite. So let me just say a few things. One, I believe that Paul and James are in agreement, that they knew one another's teachings. We know in the book of Acts that they stood together when there was controversy in the early church. So they were aware of one another's teachings. We also know that the council that put together the New Testament, they included these books together, these writings together. They didn't see conflict in it. And I think it's an issue of emphasis. It's an issue of language that's being used here. And so Paul, in his writings in Romans and in Ephesians, he's emphasizing that our justification is by grace through faith alone. He wants us to know you cannot do something to get God to like you. This isn't a gospel of striving. This isn't a gospel of trying harder. You're not being made right with God because you checked these 10 boxes, right? And Paul puts the emphasis on that. And James, I believe, would not disagree. But James's emphasis, when he talks about being justified, he's talking about that our works, they aren't how we are justified, but they show that we are justified. The language, the idea there is that our good deeds prove our faith. They show forth. He says in verse 18, "I will show," the language there, "I will prove, I will validate my faith by my good deeds." Verse 24, again, "We are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone." Okay? They work together. Jesus says this. Jesus says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. And the point he was making in that teaching was, he's saying, you're going to know a false prophet by their fruit. You're going to know by what they do who they are. Again, back to Ephesians 2, Paul says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not by works. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I think that's even a grace, that God has created us to do good. He's created us to show forth our faith. Calvin, one of the dead theologians, always trust the dead theologians, he says this. He said it this way. He said, it is therefore faith alone which justifies, and yet the faith which justifies is not alone. Many have paraphrased that just to say that we are saved by grace through faith alone, but that faith is never alone. The faith is never alone. It always shows up in good deeds. It shows itself. It validates itself. It proves itself by what we produce, right? So we're in this series, and I love, especially with this passage, that we have entitled it Shine, that we look through the book of James, and we want to be people who shine, who show forth, who prove, who validate our faith with how we live, that we wouldn't be people who just believe in God, but we believe God. And when we believe God, we obey God. When we believe God, we want to look like God. We want to be near God. We want to show forth our faith in him. So now we're going to dive into James. You ready? You with me? We got some scripture to look at here. And I want to give some context to this. So Tom has started us out in chapter 1, James. We're seeing what James's emphasis is in his whole letter. In chapter 1, he is really clear. He says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, right? Do something. Make it happen. Some of the things he says we need to do. Chapter 1, have a tight rein on your tongue or your religion is worthless. That's a strong statement. He says, the religion our Father God accepts is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the religion, the faith that is acceptable to God. It looks like this. It shows itself in taking care of orphans, in taking care of widows, in keeping ourselves unstained by the world, by being people who seek holiness in a really corrupt world, right? And then, as we talked about last week, we go into chapter 2, and James talks about not having favorites, right? Not being snobs, if you will, but moving towards all people with the same kind of kindness and goodness, right? He says earlier in this chapter, love your neighbors as yourself. In this you are doing right. And then we get to verse 14. So wave your bulletins, read with me. You got this. He says this, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and it is useless. Unless it proves itself, shows itself in good deeds, your faith is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? How can you show me that faith? Right? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. I love this. This is my favorite line in the whole section. Good for you. Good for you. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. That's a good, that's an underlinable line there, right? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called a friend of God. And it's important to remember when you read this, that this passage that James is quoting from Genesis, Abraham believed God and counted him as righteous because of his faith, is in Genesis chapter 15. And then in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham sacrifices his son. He has a faith that is reckoned to him as righteous. He puts his faith, he puts his belief in God, right? The idea of faith in the scripture is always the idea of standing upon, walking out on, that he's willing to stand upon God, and then it shows itself in obeying God when God asks him to sacrifice his son, right? So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. James wants to give us a picture of this. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without works. We could see it this way, that as a body, right, we have to breathe. And so we breathe in faith. We breathe in faith. But if you only breathe in and you never breathe out, you're dead. Just heads up. If you breathe, so we breathe in faith and we breathe out good deeds. We breathe in faith, and we breathe out good deeds. What James is wanting to put on display for us is a couple of things. I think he wants to tell us first what does not prove faith, okay? What does not validate faith? Two things. The first thing he shows us is that what does not prove faith is just mere words. You see, there's a lot of people in the church, there's a lot of people who just have mere words. They say things, that's his point, when he says, hey, what is it if you see somebody in need and you're just like, hey, see ya. And so you're saying good things. Hi, bye. That's not bad stuff. But you don't do anything about the need, right? Mere words. Mere religious talk, mere Christianese does not prove or validate your faith. The second thing is right doctrine. Now, this is a little more disturbing for us, right? Because there's many of us who are like, I got to have my doctrine right. And I believe in good theology and having your doctrine right. But James is saying to us, just having right doctrine does not validate your faith, because remember, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. That's good doctrine. That's good orthodox Christianity. We believe in one God. Good for you. Because even the demons believe that. Even the demons believe that, and they tremble in terror. And there is a question that we have to ask ourselves when it comes to our faith in God. Is our faith a true and living, active faith, or is it fear? Is it really more about fear? Is it really more about trembling because we're not quite sure if we don't believe in God, will something bad happen? If we don't believe in God, then maybe the good thing I want won't come to me, right? But here's the problem. Fear is not faith. Fear is not faith. Fear leads to self-preservation. Faith leads to God infatuation. These are totally different things. Fear leads to self-preservation, and a lot of people in the church are just trying to self-preserve themselves, right? But faith brings to us a God infatuation, a surrendered dependence. And here's the difference, too. When we do our good deeds and our good works merely out of fear, then typically we're doing those things out of duty, but not out of delight. And that's why we burn out. And that's why we become bitter, because nobody's appreciating all of our good deeds and all of our good works, because we're doing them to get credit, to put in our little credit bucket so God will do good things for us, right? But when we do good deeds out of faith, they can flow out of delight. They can flow from a place that doesn't necessarily need to get credit, doesn't necessarily need to be affirmed, because there is a delight in knowing that we stand on, we walk upon God. We stand with Jesus, and something flows out of us, those good works that he prepared beforehand for us to do, right? So what does prove faith? Well, James is clear. Our actions prove our faith. Look at Abraham. Look at Rahab. They believed and they did something, right? True faith is proven by our good deeds. It's like a glove and a hand. You see, he says it multiple times here. He says, faith without works is dead, or the language there is useless. And he says both in one place. It says, and I think that the translators are taking that language of uselessness, and they're saying it's dead and it's useless, right? A glove without a hand, it's a dead glove. Sorry, little glove, you're dead. It's useless, right? But a glove with a hand works. Our faith is clothed in a work glove, right? And here's the thing. I don't necessarily know. I was trying to figure this out as I was preparing this. Like, is it faith that makes the works go, or is it the works that make the faith go? Well, fortunately, James just says they work together, that our faith and our good works work together. So the invitation that James is giving us this morning is to do good deeds, is to show your faith, to validate it with how you live and what you do. And so what I want to land on this morning is, I want to land on, what is it that your faith might be inviting you to do? Now, we could all come up with like 20, 30 things, right? I just want to think about one thing for this week, and maybe you'll jot that down. What's the one thing that your faith is inviting you to show forth, right? Maybe it's straight from the book of James. Maybe it's something that James has mentioned. Maybe it would be that our good work would be the good work of generosity. Maybe it would be the good work of guarding our tongues, being quick to listen and slow to speak. Maybe it would be the good work of not showing favoritism. Maybe there's somebody in your workplace that you have ignored because they're not like you, or they're not cool enough, or they're whatever it is that keeps us from that person, right? Maybe there's someone in your neighborhood. And God is inviting you to live your faith out in moving towards them, in being an encouragement to them. Maybe the good work for you, for some of you, is actually first to take the step of faith, to put your faith and your trust in Jesus, and let his faith come alive in you, right? And that is just so simple as just saying, I admit that I'm messed up, which we can all do that. I admit that I have sinned against God. To sin against God is just to turn from him, to go our own way. And then to believe what Jesus has done for you. And to say, I believe Jesus, and I need you. And then commit yourself to walk in that truth, that he has given you his life, his death, and his resurrection to make you free, to make you new. That might be the step you need to take. For others, it might be a good work of kindness. It might be a good work of service. I was so encouraged a few weeks ago. A couple from Christian Assembly moved in to the apartment behind my house, and I got a text from another person from Christian Assembly, and he said, hey, I think I'm in your neighborhood. And I went over, and there he was helping this couple. She's pregnant, helping them move into their new apartment. That is a good work, right? To help someone move, that's a good work. We have done it, and it is a good work. Maybe it's helping your spouse. Maybe it's helping your spouse clean or change diapers, or maybe it's emptying the dishwasher, or maybe it's folding laundry. It's a good work. See, I think sometimes we get so, we're so consumed with what's the big thing I can do? What's the big great work I can do? But most of our good works are just everyday, mundane kind of stuff. It's a note of encouragement to a friend, right? It's the good work of listening. It's the good work of volunteering, maybe in your neighborhood or maybe here at Christian Assembly. We're so thankful for those who do that good work of working in our kids' church and our student ministries and parking lots and all those things. So what would that good work be? As I was preparing this sermon, I did what all, you know, very spiritual thing that I do every time I prepare a sermon, I Google. And so I was Googling, just good works. What are people doing out there? Good deeds. And I found some really fun ones, and they're all things that we could do. So I've got, yeah, this guy. This guy, this is awesome. He's in his 80s. He's a retired barber, so he goes to the park near his house once a week, and he provides free haircuts and free shaves. Taking your skill or your gift. I know that there's people in our church who, they're good with carpentry, they're good with fixing cars, they're good with, you know, money management, whatever, and sharing that with somebody else, right? Love this. Some of them, a bunch of them, were all kind of notes that people left. This is a great one. This person, you left your window open, so I put a bag over it to keep your interior dry. Have a great day. From your friendly neighborhood, Gilligan. I don't even know what that means. I'll be your Huckleberry. I don't know what that means. But Gilligan obviously cares about keeping cars dry. This one, tried knocking several times to let you know your dome light is on in your car. If you need a jump, I get up at 7:15 and leave for work around 8. Text me if you need to. Corey from upstairs. Way to go, Corey! Right? Just to take a minute and try to help someone out. This one's really good. This is, I was reading the story behind this. As you can see, this person left a $40 tip for a $20 meal. But what had happened was the waitress, this customer, had noticed that a group of high school age kids had kind of skipped out on their meal, right? They didn't pay for it. And he was watching the waitress looking around the table looking for their money, and there was none, and she began to cry because this was going to come out of her wages, right? And so this person, hope this makes up for the skipped out bill. Cheer up. Here's $40. We can do that. We can do that, right? That's awesome. Another one, I love this one. This is a guy who stops in the train station to help this woman with her bags. And as I was looking at this one, it struck me that so often what I need to do good deeds is I need to slow down. I need to get my antennas up. What are the needs that are around me, right? And this last one, this woman, she bought this homeless guy a meal. But what I love about this is that she ate the meal with him. That she gave him not only the gift of food, but probably even something he might have needed more. The gift of conversation. The gift of the presence of somebody else with him. I love that. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, "The Christian does not think God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us." We believe that our God has prepared good works for us to do beforehand. And we get to step into that. Jesus says this in one of his best-known sermons, a Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." It's a message that he's giving to his early followers, right? And we could just say this, church, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine. Right? I love that. What's the one good deed that you're going to do today or tomorrow or this week, right? In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that, and this is what's so crucial, this is so awesome, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You see, what our good deeds result in is not necessarily that we get a big pat on the back or we're awesome, super good deed person, but that God gets worshiped, right? When we do our good deeds, God is worshiped. His goodness, his good deeds are put on display because his good deed is the greatest deed that's ever been done, right? To send his very Son to come in the flesh, God himself, to live far away from the glory, in the chaos of this world, and to live a perfect life, to die a death we could never die for ourselves, to be resurrected to new life, that we have freedom, and that we have the ability to do good works like our Heavenly Father. May he be praised. Father, we thank you. We do praise you. We do worship you. You are a good and gracious God. And we thank you for the good work you have done for us. And we pray, Lord, even now, as we sing this song, as we pause for a moment, I pray that by your Spirit, you would whisper into each of us, what is that good work for us this week? What is that one thing, God? Would you speak it to us? Would you give us ears to hear? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.